Hey, sit down listeners. You can find us every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to The Sit Down, a mafia history podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Nadeau.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another edition of The Sit Down, a mafia history podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Nadeau, back and better than ever. And I want to start right off at the top and let you know that we got a huge episode today, as always. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about Black Jack Fletcher. Black Jack is going to return next week. Had a couple of people ask me about it. As I've said time and time again, Blackjack has a day job. He'll be back next week. We've already kind of talked about it. We've got some great episodes planned over the next couple of weeks. We're going to get into some real heavy hitters. We're going to do a Trafficante episode, get Carlos Marcello, got some Westie stuff I want to do. Got a lot of really great episodes still coming on the show. And I want to thank everybody for checking out the show each week. I always get some great messages from all of you, and I'm really happy at how this show continues to grow. So if you're new out there and you're listening, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check us out on Twitter at The Sit Down 7. You can also check us out on YouTube. Yes, we do have a YouTube channel, and yes, it continues to grow. So I urge you to check out The Sit Down on YouTube as well. Just search The Sit Down, a Mafia History Podcast. So in the next couple of weeks, are going to be some really good shows, and we'll get our boy Black Jack Fletcher back. I know a lot of people have missed Black Jack, and it's kind of sucked doing the show without him. You know, I can always push through and I can always do the show on my own, but it's always nice to have our cohort here. And we get into the summer and really get to the year point of this show. We started this show about a year ago. So, we're almost at 60 episodes. You know, by the end of the year, we'll be pushing 100. So it'll be an exciting time. And we've been excited about bringing you the show each week. Today, we're going to get in to an interesting character. We're going to talk about Andrew Mush Russo. And a lot of people reached out to me about Mush Russo. Mush actually passed away last week, actually. And I really wanted to get into Mush's life because, you know, Mush is a guy that really spent a lot of time in prison, and he was involved with a family that's obviously very convoluted, the Colombo crime family. But Mush used his prestige, his family name, to really kind of get through and to become a very high up individual in the Colombo crime family. And until, last week, according to the FBI, Mush Russo was the head of the Colombo crime family. He was a sitting boss that died. So I felt like it'd be a great time to do a Mush Russo episode. I know a lot of people, there's not a lot of info known about Mush, but I've got some good sources, and I'm looking forward to telling you a lot more about Andrew Mush Russo, who, again, passed away at the age of 87 years old last week. Let's get into it. But before we do that, again, as I said, make sure you go check us out on Twitter at The Sit Down 7. Check us out on YouTube. Make sure you give us a nice review, and make sure, if you can, make sure you support our sponsors. You know, we do the show for free. We try to bring you great content each and every week about a mobster. So it's important that you show love and support us and support the people involved with this show. Let's get into it. Andrew Russo on The Sit Down. Andrew Russo was born in 1935 in Brooklyn, New York. And interestingly enough, it'd be his connection in his family that would allow him to really create a path for himself in the American mafia. His first cousin was actually Carmine Persico. And that would obviously be great news for Mush, because Mush would use that prestige to really get out of a lot of things. I mean, Mush Russo did some things, screwed around in some things that he got wrong, and it really should have been the undoing for him. But I really want to kind of set the stage for what the Colombo crime family was when Mush Rusho gets involved. Mush Rusho gets involved in his 20s, in the late 50s, in the Colombo crime family. But at that point, the Colombo family was actually the Profaci crime family. We know in the end of the 50s, into the early 60s, there was a lot of things billowing for the Colombo crime family. You know, we know that Carmine Persico was involved, allegedly. I don't believe he actually was, but allegedly he was involved in some higher profile things. The Joey Gallo crew was coming up, creating their triumvirate, and they were sick and tired of the current boss, Joe Profaci. Profaci was greedy. He was old school. He was a mustache Pete. And the Gallo younger group wanted to get him out of the way. A war ensues. Everyone's dissatisfied with Profaci's leadership. And Persico ultimately slots in with the Gallows, but then goes against the Gallows, joins the Profaci wing. That's where he gains his nickname, the Snake. Everything kind of shakes its way out. And by basically the early 70s, Joe Colombo is the boss of the family. He gets shot. Carmine Persico slots in and becomes the boss. But during all this, Mush Rusho is just kind of billowing up. He's building his life in the mob. He's becoming a loan shark. He's taking action. He's doing what he does. Mush is earning that. And that's the thing that a lot of young guys did in the mob at that time. He could use his prestige as being part of Carmine Persico's family. But it wouldn't be until kind of the late 60s, early 70s when Persico becomes kind of who he becomes. That's when Mush kind of becomes accepted. Remember, the books were closed during the mafia in that time. So what I mean by the books are closed is they weren't accepting new members. There was an edict that came down. There was a lot that was going on during that time. And Carlo Gambino kind of sends his edict out. The books are closed. We're not bringing in any new people. All the associates remain associates. And eventually, when we decide to open the books again, we'll do that. In 1968, by that point, Mush Rusho has a huge loan book. And what he's doing also is he's establishing legit businesses, which as an earner, as a mob soldier, as a mob associate, if you can make money for the American mafia, it really doesn't matter how tough you are. If you can make money, that's huge. As I said, he had a huge loan book and he was involved with legit businesses. The garbage hauling companies were big for Mush Rusho. He was very involved with creating revenue through carding companies, different things. He also had a trucking company called A&S Trucking, which by his early 30s would actually lend Mush Rusho to have a pretty damn good life. He actually bought a beautiful home out on Long Island and was really able to get land and just had a really nice spread for himself. And keep in mind, he's in his 30s. By the mid-70s, Carmine Persico becomes the boss of the Colombo crime family in 1972-ish, 1973. The problem for Carmen was he was involved and embroiled in legal issues. And that's something that not only Mush Rusho would have to deal with throughout his life, but also Carmine Persico. Persico would get locked up for hijacking. And by that point, he entrusts his cousin with a lot of his rackets. He says, hey, look, Mush, you handle all this stuff. And when the books open, we'll make sure you get made and you become kind of my eyes and ears in the streets. And in 1976, that would happen. The books are reopened. One of the first inductions is Andrew Mush Rusho. And by this point, Persico is about 5 years into a 14-year sentence. And everything Mush did in the streets was for Carmine. He was his eyes and ears. He was trusted. He was a family member. And that's exactly what Mush is doing. Not only is he handling business, but he's going out and meeting important people. And his kind of exposure continues to grow inside the Colombo crime family. He starts meeting people. There's actually a story that Cleveland and LA mobs, or Jimmy Weasel, Weasel Fradiano would tell, where he actually mentioned he met Mush Rusho in the 70s. They were at a concert at the Rainbow Room where Frank Sinatra performed this private concert, and there were a bunch of mobsters there. And he was actually introduced to Mush Rusho by acting boss Tom DiBella and Gennaro Langella. They would come up to Buffalino and Fradiano and basically say, hey, this is Mush Rusho. He's handling things. He's doing business. And Mush would actually get in contact with Buffalino because he was looking to take some of the business that the Colombo crime family was involved with and pushed it into the Poconos and into northeastern Pennsylvania. So Mush was gaining a lot of tutelage in the Colombo crime family, and he was meeting higher ups. He was becoming very involved. In 1978, Andrew Mush Rusho would become a capo in the Columbo crime family. And as I said, he's pulling the strings. Now, when we did Karma and Persico, we talked about one of the situations Karma and Persico would get in. During his time in prison, he gets this bright idea through Mush Russo. Mush Russo goes to him and says, hey, look, I know this guy in Long Island, Victor Puglisi. He knows a rogue IRS agent. This guy's a bad guy, but he's willing to move you closer to New York and ultimately get you out of prison. We just got to give him a bunch of bribes. So this restaurant owner, Puglisi, vouches for this guy that he says, hey, look, this guy can get you out. This individual named Anicharico. Anicharico was this guy he knew, this IRS agent. So Anicharico comes in and says, hey, yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm on the take. You start paying me this amount of money and I'll do what I can to move him. The problem was throughout this whole time, through like a 2 or 3 year period, this Anicharico was actually a double agent for the FBI and he was setting everybody up. And what would happen is not only did he set all these guys up, but we would start to learn a lot about Mush Russo. We'd learn about the fact that through the FBI, he would comp a trip to Las Vegas. And the FBI would find out that Mush Russo was not only involved with the upper echelons of the mafia, but he was involved in boxing as well. It would be found out that he would actually have a major stake in an individual called Vito Antuofermo. Antuofermo actually became an actor many years later, but he was a middleweight boxer back in the 70s. And at one point, he would actually fight Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And Russo was reportedly someone that owned Antuofermo, and he was making a ton of money betting on him. And Michael Franzese would actually talk about this many years later. He would say that Mush was very involved with this guy. And, you know, the FBI was never quite able to prove that Antuofermo was necessarily on the take for Mush Russo. But this is all the stuff that come out in this rogue IRS agent's testimony. And this would be a big problem for Mush Russo. In 1980, the Colombo family would find out that this individual was an FBI agent. And you know, it kind of strikens back to the Donnie Brasco situation. Mush Russo probably could have had major problems with this just because he was very involved with kind of vouching for not only Puglisi, but for this guy as well. In 1980, late 1980, Carmine Persico is actually named in an indictment brought by the agent. He's arrested. Mush Russo and other individuals in the Colombo crime family go on the run. They're named as well in this indictment. So everyone's going to have to eventually face the music that this rogue FBI agent, IRS agent that said he could get Carmine Persico out on bribes was actually a double agent and he was actually working for everybody. And that was that. The good thing, though, is eventually Russo kind of got the message. And in 1981, he would surrender. He would ultimately get 5 years, Mush Russo, for this little stunt. He would put his nephew, Chucky Russo, in control, and Chucky would handle the day-to-day operations while he was in the can. For Mush Russo, though, he would start to, though, create an opportunity for his sons to be involved in the mob as well. By this point, he had two sons, Jojo and Billy Russo. They would follow their father into the mafia. And, you know, Mush would kind of do his time, but it wouldn't last long because once he would get out in the mid-80s, another indictment would come down. And this one would end up being a pretty big one. On October 14th, 1984, not only Carmine Persico, not only Mush Russo, but the rest of the Colombo family leadership were indicted on multiple racketeering charges as part of something called the Colombo trial. And this is where things, again, start to go haywire for the Colombo crime family. And every time I talk about the Colombos, I make it very well aware that I hope people are listening to the shows because there's a lot of names involved, a lot of indictments involved, a lot of things go on. So what happens is there's a 51 count, 11 man indictment. And pretty much everyone and anyone is named in this indictment. Junior Persico is involved. Jerry Langella, the underboss, is involved. Mush Russo is involved. Jackie DeRoss, a Capo Regime, is involved. Scappy Scarpati, another capo, is involved. Alley Boy Persico is involved. Carmine's son and soldier. Carmine's bodyguard, Hugh McIntosh, is involved. Ralphie Scopo, president of the Concrete Workers Union, he's involved. Little Dom Cataldo, Beansy Melly, Frank Falange, everyone involved in the family at this point is hemmed up in this little piece of work. Now, Carmine gets the picture and actually goes into hiding. Now, a lot of people know about the Fred DeChristopher thing. The individual that would make that happen was actually Mush Russo. Mush would go to his sister and her husband, Fred DeChristopher, who lived on Long Island, and say, hey, listen, can you house cousin Carmine? He needs to go on the run. DeChristopher agrees, and Carmine goes out to Long Island to hide with Fred DeChristopher. So everything was good. Mush Russo would end up getting a $500,000 bail, and he would head on home. Now, I want to get into a story that I actually found out about Mush Russo that's pretty incredible, quite honestly. So Mush is out on bail. It was alleged that Mush Russo loved spending time with his family, had a big family, had a wife, had multiple kids. He loved to cook. His family would talk about he enjoyed making big meals for the family. And like many gangsters, Mush enjoyed cooking and stuff. But he also had a beautiful boat, Mush Russo. He lived near the bay. He lived in an area called Glenhead, which is in this area of Old Brookville in Long Island. So Mush is out on bail. Okay, the day after he gets left out on bail, October 23rd, 1985, he says to his wife, hey, look, honey, let's go down to the Great South Bay. Let's take the boat out. Let's take one of our grandkids out. We'll have a little spin. Let's do our thing. Wildly enough, I guess during that day, it's October, he had some rougher seas. He had some choppy waters. Mush Russo spots a rowboat with fishermen that it capsizes. And contrary to the story, Mush frantically decides to jump in and saves both of these people. His wife then calls the cops, and Mush is looked at as kind of a hero. And I guess according to the people that were there, they had no idea who Mush Russo was at the time. But it's just a wild story that no one really talks about, but it's one of these random stories. He was actually looked at in the small town as like kind of a hero in a way, because he was the guy that jumped off the boat to go save somebody. Now, through all this, he was a reputed mobster, very high up in the Colombo crime family. Now, the problem for Carmine Persico was eventually things would start to come undone at Fred Christopher's house. He would talk very freely, according to the ColomboMafia.com. He would talk openly about illegal activities to Fred DeChristopher, who, weirdly enough, was an insurance salesman. He was using coded telephone calls to Lajaro Langella, and he was talking about his criminal operations. He was also talking about his relationship with Carmine Galante and that how he loved him and all this different stuff. And according to DeChristopher, he would say that Carmine told him, quote, I voted against Carmine Galante getting hurt. The problem was eventually people found out that he was with Fred DeChristopher. DeChristopher picks up a phone, says, who's this? An investigator responds with, quote, this is the FBI. We have the house surrounded. Come out with your hands up. Carmine did as he was told, and the agents were able to nab him and mob captain Dominic Montemurano, who was also on the run.
Facebook is building tools to enhance safety and security. Over 40 million people are using Facebook's privacy checkup each month. That's nearly 60 times the population of Washington, D.C. Learn more about the work ahead at facebook.com/action.
So DeChristopher flips and obviously is a regular dude and decides, he ain't going to go to jail over Carmine Persico. But if we remember back, the individual to connect DeChristopher to Persico was Mush Russo again. This is another problem that Mush Russo was able to wiggle out of. It feels like, he's constantly setting up Persico and problems there and vouching for people he probably shouldn't vouch for. Again, eventually they would all face trial in 1985 and some big sentences would be doled out. This would be the end for a lot of people, including Carmine Persico. Look, we know Carmine Persico did not spend a lot of time in the streets, but this would be where Carmine Persico would go away. And that would be that for the snake, which that didn't mean anything because Carmine was still running stuff behind the wall. Now, Once Carmine and everyone faces trial, Mush Russo would face a lot of time for his loan sharking. He had continued to loan shark this entire time. He was also involved with a lot of labor racketeering and was still very much involved with the garbage industry. But what always made me fascinated with Mush Russo is not only some of the things that he did and how he was able to preserve himself for so long, but some of the people he knew. And this is actually kind of interesting. During the trial, famed actor James Caan, who would play Sonny in The Godfather, he would walk into the courthouse and not only embrace Carmen Persico with a kiss, but he would also talk openly about how he knew Mush Russo very well. It's bad publicity, he would say, but I don't care. I'm here because I'm a friend of Andrew Russo. We grew up together in New York. Not only he would show up, but Burt Young would show up as well. As we know Burt from his time in the Rocky franchise. He was also in The Sopranos and all sorts of other mob films. So these guys knew famous people. They were very close with James Caan, Burt Young. These guys would be there. And if we remember, if you go to John Gotti's trial, I mean, Anthony Quinn showed up. I mean, Joe Gallo knew, you know, all sorts of people in Hollywood. We obviously know Frank Sinatra was very close with the mob. So this is kind of the fascination about Carmine Persico and Mush Russo. Mush knew a lot of people. Mush was very star-studded. But in 1985, the trial would kind of start and continue. One of the chief witnesses was Richard Annichiarico, the guy that was the rogue IRS agent. A lot of these guys would testify. One of the other people that they caught on wiretap talking openly was Los Angeles mob boss Jimmy Fradiano. A lot of these people kind of talked openly about a lot of these people were mobsters. Now, one of the things we would also learn during all this stuff is that the individual Victor Puglisi, the restaurateur from from Long Island that introduced Russo to Annichiarico, he would miraculously disappear after all this. And a lot of people pretty much realized, okay, well, he's probably disposed now because they got rid of him and that was that. And he would basically become some evidence as well towards all this. This was all bad for the Colombo crime family. Pretty much everybody was hemmed up in this. Carmine Persico got a very long sentence. Ralphie Scopo got a very long prison sentence. He would be indicted as basically the king of concrete. He would talk about being the big timer in the concrete company and that not a yard of concrete was poured in the city where he and his friends didn't get a piece of it. People were getting destroyed in this trial, and the Colombo crime family was on its last legs. This wouldn't be the end for the Colombo crime family, but this wouldn't be good either. There was also a pretty interesting thing that would come out in trial at a dinner that Fred DeChristopher was at that he witnessed. He would claim that at a table, someone had offended Russo, who stuck a fork. He stuck a fork to the man's eyes and growled, "Look, when I tell you to do something, you do it. Okay, asshole." As the terrified man frantically signaled his compliance, Russo snarled, "The next time you fuck up, I'll push this fork right into your fucking eye." So, I mean, that's, you know, the kind of guy that, you know, DeChristopher would talk about. All these people cooperated against the upper echelons of the mafia and told their stories. Some of the sentences that would come down, Mush Russo would get a long prison sentence. He would get about 14 years in federal prison. Some of the other sentences, Dom Cataldo got 15. Carmine got a long sentence, but it was already long because he had a long one to begin with. Jerry Lang got 65 years. Carmine's son, Alphonse Lally, but Persico got 12 years. All sorts of people got jammed up. Judge John Keenan would tell Little Alley Boy Persico, quote, "You're a chump if you stay in the Colombo crime family." He would also tell Carmine Persico, quote, "You're one of the smartest people I've ever seen in my life. It's a shame that your life became a tragedy." So a lot of these people were regarded, and they were. Mush Russo, Carmine Persico, these are smart people. But again, they went into a life of crime and they had to pay for it. So this was a huge trial. This would be, as I said, the end for Carmen Persica. And what this would also do is it would take most of the foreseeable leadership off the streets. And what this would allow is other people would come in and sort of say, you know what? There's no one out in the street. I'm going to run the family. In 1988, Carmen Persica decides, okay, we need someone on the streets to handle things. We know Vic Arena is pretty smart. He's a guy that runs things. He's got some good operations in Queens. And, you know, he can stay close to us. So he decides to put some trust into him. But I think Carmine believes that once Lil Ali gets out, he's the guy. And Vic Arena says, well, fuck that. I mean, Lil Ali's not getting out for a long time. I'm the fucking boss of this family. And that's where the Colombo War starts. It goes back and forth. I'm not going to go into the Colombo War because we'd be here for fucking days and we'd try to understand and go through all these different names. Things were happening and the Perscos really couldn't do anything about it because everyone involved with the family that was related to the Perscos, i.e. Carmine, the Lally Boy, Teddy, Mush Russo, all these people were locked up and there was nothing they could do about it. People like Greg Scarpa and some of these other revolutionaries weren't able to handle things. People were fighting back and forth. Things were going on. Things were going crazy. Some of the people that were on the street, though, were Mush Russo's sons. His son JoJo, his nephew Chucky, they were on the streets. And they were kind of trying to handle things and trying to kind of stay out of the limelight. You know, people were dying. You know, Joe Scopo died. And then, you know, this person died and that person died. There was just all sorts of things that were going on. Bloodshed was crazy. Things needed to settle down. Luckily, in 1994, though, eventually after all the Colombo War happens, the Arena War happens, Mush Russo gets out in 1994. He's released. He does about 10 years, and he comes home. And he comes home to something that, you know, he didn't really expect. Everybody was gone at this point. Again, all of the leadership had already been in jail, like Langella and Persico, but now Arena's out of the way. Scarpa's out of the way. Sonny Franzese, all these people are out of the way. And Mush Russo is called upon to basically be the boss of the Colombo crime family. And for him, he was a water carrier for his cousin, Carmen Persico. He was going to hold the perch until Lil Ali Boy comes home. And look, Mush did what he could. He would establish a social club in Park Slope. He would create a peace agreement in the family that anybody left from the Arena faction, you know, they were good in our eyes. They were, you know, we're going to create a peace agreement. In fact, according to mob people and mob history people, they would say that once Russo came out, he would actually put Joe Waverly Cacase as the acting underboss. Now, Cacase was very involved with Vic Arena. So everyone pretty much kind of deaded the beef. Everything was fine. Everybody was on the same page. And Mush decides, you know what? Let bygones be bygones. We'll save everything. This family is going to be back on the map. And we're going to try to get some respect again. Because by this point, the Colombo family was dead and buried. They were a family that was at the low levels. And by this point, the mob, when you look at it, the Genovese family is still very powerful. Vincent Gigante's in control. The Bonanno crime family is a machine. Gambino family starting to figure itself out after the Gotti mess. You know, the Colombo family was not looked upon very well at this point. And Mush Russo decides, hey, we're going to steer this back on track. He decides to start to meet with people, try to gain some success, become recognizable again. It was alleged, and this was reported by Scott Bernstein from the Gangster Report. He would talk about in 1996 that it was reported by the FBI that they would witness Ralph Natale, who was the boss of Philadelphia, meet Mush Russo in Brooklyn. And they talked about some things. He would also meet the boss of New Northeastern Pennsylvania, Big Billy D'Elia. There was all sorts of things going on. And Mush's job was, you know, kind of hold the mantle, but also kind of try to get this group back on the tracks again. So, you know, he tried to do a good job. And, you know, the problem was the Colombo family was so kind of beat up by this point. It really didn't matter. I mean, the Colombo family was kind of a mess. And even Mush Russo couldn't keep it out of the shitter. On September 11th, 1996, just a couple of years after his release, it was only about 2 years, the hammer would drop yet again for Mush Russo. The feds would throw out a 31-count indictment charging him in a scheme involving an individual he knew called Dennis Hickey. Dennis Hickey was a garbage carting individual who ran some things in Islip, Long Island. They would kind of uncover that, Hickey was basically, kicking up stuff to Mush Russo and kind of knocking at the competition through extortion and threats and things of that nature. And he would collect Hickey to Mush Russo. Mush Russo had been in the karting industry really since the 60s. So it was pretty easy to connect the dots for Mush Russo. This was a big problem for him because, again, he would have to face the term of prison. In 1997, the New York Daily News would name Mush Russo as the official boss of the Colombo crime family. They would also name Joel Waverly Cacase as the official underboss and family bigwig Vincent Alloy as consigliere. And look, by this point as well, the Colombo crime family was not on the commission. They had been banished. They're really in a bad spot. And Mush was again facing the fact that he would have to go to prison. He would get a long prison sentence in 1999 and again report back to prison. So we look really from the 60s on, Mush Russo spent a lot of time behind the wall. In fact, a lot of Colombo people spent a lot of time behind the wall. It was a messy time for the Colombo crime family. On January 26, 1999, Dennis Hickey and Andrew Russo were both convicted and they got long prison sentences. Now, Mush Russo would actually jump on the judge in this case after he would not only get 123 months, but he would be added a 57-month sentence on a separate charge. He would kind of lash out at the judge saying, quote, "You ended up giving me a life sentence with this Mickey Mouse case. Why don't you put me in the fucking electric chair right here in the courtroom and get it over with now?" Noting that he would be 78 if I lived that long. Traeger would comment, "You look pretty healthy." Russo was able to win a minor victory by getting a $20,000 fine rescinded after he claimed poverty. So despite they would prove that he was a millionaire. Both would be hit hard. Hickey would get a nearly $8 million forfeiture and would have to sell off most of his business. So, this was all a big problem because we're kind of looking at the turn of the century here. Mush Russo spends, almost 10 plus years in prison. Most of the 2000s, Mush Russo would spend behind the wall. He would come home in the early 2010s, and he would again go right back to the streets. He would try to create another triumvirate of Colombo crime family members. The problem was most of the Colombo crime family was super old and or just completely gone. And what would start to happen is we'd start to see like little known capos and guys on the street that really had no business being made. Russo became desperate to continue on Cosa Nostra. It was all he knew. And by 2010, you had Mush Russo, who's in his 70s, Richie Fusco, who was in his 70s, Benjamin Castalzi, who's in his 70s. All these people, Joe Cacase, he's a pretty old guy at this point. All these guys are old, and they're still trying to create this illusion that the Colombo crime family is still a factor. And what happens is, as I said, we saw this with Vinny Asaro. He starts getting involved with people that he shouldn't get involved with. One individual that he gets involved with is a person called Anthony, Big Anthony Russo. Now, Russo had no family connection to Russo, but he was one of these leg breakers in the streets who was friends with Teddy Persico, who was related to Carmine. And, Big Anthony could beat people up. He could do things for the family. Carmine knew him. Mush Russo knew him. They believed that he was a guy that can kind of make money for them and also kind of be an up-and-comer for them. The problem was he started to get into things that he shouldn't be a part of. A murder popped up that Anthony Russo had to deal with. He eventually would flip on everybody, and he would again have to, Mush Russo, deal with another hurdle. One of the things, though, we would uncover during the 2010 era is is we started to see Muschruschow again starting to act mental a little bit. He started to do things that he probably shouldn't have been doing. It would be uncovered in 2010. It'd be heard on wiretap through Anthony Russo. Anthony Russo had been basically wired up, and he was wearing a wire against Muschruschow. Andy Russo would tell Anthony Russo about a guy that he needed to go collect money for, an individual called Federico Castellucci. Now, if that name rings familiar to people listening, that was Furio from The Sopranos. Again, we talked about Muschruschow. He was very connected in the celebrity world. I knew a lot of celebrities. He had befriended Castelluccio when he was in prison. I guess Castelluccio went to visit a friend of his. He would meet Russo when he went to visit this friend. And this Furio, after The Sopranos, decided he wanted to get involved with some investments. He decides to give an individual, Gino Pesci, $50,000 to open a restaurant. Now, this Pesci, who was also related to a celebrity, Joe Pesci, in 2002, he would give this Pesci guy a bunch of money to invest in a restaurant. Obviously, the belly up, a restaurant would go belly up, and Castelluccio wanted his money back. So through a roundabout way, Muschruschow finds out about this. And in 2010, he's heard on wiretap telling Muschruschow, hey, the kid who played Furio on The Sopranos, we need to go get his money back for him. And they would kind of connect the dots that Muschruschow knew this Furio and that this Anthony Russo needed to go get back the money for him. So this guy knew a ton of people. It was pretty crazy. But I think the common theme with Muschruschow is throughout his life, he continued to try to continue the mob dream that he had. He never wanted to stop. It's all he really knew. And he would have to not only realize that we weren't living in the old days, really from the 60s on, he was a water carrier for Carmine Persico. And this is something that made Carmine Persico so, you know, kind of high up in the business, because he was able to get these water carriers to completely do all his bidding. And they ended up paying the price for a lot of Persico's problems. We look at from basically 75 into 2010, Muschruschow spent a lot of time in prison. He missed a lot of time with his kids, with his grandkids. Things completely kind of went haywire for Muschruschow. He would ultimately get out in 2013. The feds had kind of given up on the mob. They'd obviously moved on to bigger business. Now there's still people that kind of police the mob, but it's not like it once was. And as we get into kind of present day, there was actually talk that after some busts that some of the families had kind of came together and merged. And look, most of the squads that were investigating these people moved on to different businesses. And, you know, when we look at the crime family for the Colombo family into present day, it had really looked like a complete joke. You look at Muschruschow, he was the boss up until, you know, basically 2019. There were some other people involved. Sally Cambria was a boss at one point, but it was kind of a messy thing. You look at the underboss, it was Benjamin Castalzo. Now, Castalzo was someone that, I got to be honest, I didn't know much about really until recently. And that's how kind of random the Colombo family is. They had guys as higher end people that, like, I didn't even know, like Ralph DiMaggio, the concierge. I didn't even know who he was. I feel like I know a good amount about the mafia. I didn't even know who these people were. And, you know, that would kind of resurface in 2021, in September of 2021. A large scale indictment would again be brought down on the Colombo crime family. Included in the indictment were Muschruschow, Benjamin Castalzo, Ralph DiMaggio, Vincent Ricciardi, Richard Ferrara, and Teddy Persico Jr. The indictment would charge all these members with infiltrating and taking control of labor unions, healthcare benefit programs, as well as fraud, bookmaking, all sorts of mob crimes. And, you know, this really was almost the end for Muschruschow. He was, you know, 87 years old by this point. The upper echelon of the Colombo crime family was a complete mess. And Muschruschow basically faced a life sentence, because at this point, he would likely go to jail. He'd eventually be freed on $10 million bond. And at the time of his death last week, Mush Russo was out on bail. And look, he made no punches about who he was. By this point, he had a lot of medical issues. He's old. I mean, he had a big family. They talked kind of glowingly about who he was. They eventually, I think they had a funeral late last week for Mush Russo. But I kind of wanted to end all this on kind of an interesting quote that I think is really kind of telling of most of the people we talk about here. You know, there's one thing about Russo that we can talk about. He was a stone cold gangster until the end. Never cooperated, never did anything, never would even consider cooperating. I know a lot of people, before I get to this quote, will ask me, what do I think is next for the Colombo family? I don't know. I really don't. I mean, obviously, you have people on the street right now that are capable. I mean, most of the family, as far as the upper echelon, is in prison. Alley Boy's never coming home. I mean, Teddy Persico's not going to be home for a long time. You've got some young guys that are out there. They're locked up. The Colombo crime family is a shell of what it once was. Mush Russo is really one of the last of the Mohicans in the Colombo crime family. In 2010, there would be a tape recorded comment that really kind of made Mush Russo who he was. He would say on tape, quote, "I can't walk away from all this. I can't rest." He was who he was. He was never going to do anything different. And it's no surprise that time and time again, he would face the law. He was a gangster through and through, Mush Russo. He never, you know, faced any bullets. He never did life. He didn't die in prison. And he ultimately died in his home, which I guess was kind of a screw you to the government, if you will. But, you know, at the end of the day, Mush Russo was a longtime gangster, made a lot of money. I'm sure his family will be okay. I'm sure they'll live fine. But, you know, he was never wavered. He never wavered who he was. He was always going to be a gangster. He was destined to be a gangster. Same as his cousin Carmine, same as his nephew, same as his sons. These people are destined for this, most of them. And in the end, they're either going to die or go to jail. And Mush Russo really kind of anchored that sentiment. There's so many different names. Andrew Mush Russo, dead at the age of 87. I know this kind of was a nutty show. There was all sorts of different names and different situations. But, you know, some of these folks, you try to put as good a story together as you can. But as anyone in the Colombo crime, they really pre 1970, it was pretty much a fucking mess, whether it was Persico, Victor Arena, Greg Scarpa, Franzese, any of these people. It's been pretty much a mess. The only people in the Colombo crime family that I think are the last of the Mohican type guys are people like Mush Russo, Sonny Franzese. The rest of it was a bunch of, it was a mess, quite honestly. And, you know, Russo at the end of his life just kind of started getting in bed with the wrong people. And he started to latch on to this stuff that was just kind of gone. The old school was gone. The old school people were out of there. So that's that this week. As always, thank you for listening. We'll get back really back to normal next week. Blackjack Fletcher will return. I think we're going to delve into the life of Carlos Marcello, the famed boss of New Orleans, one of the most powerful people in the history of the mafia. That'll be fun. And I thank you, as always, for being here each week. I try to do the best I can. I try to come on here and have a great show. People like it. People listen, and people are here. So thank you for being here. I am out. As always, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week here on The Sit.